This is your Chicago Bears station, Sports Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Denying it, there's a great fascination in one man's ability to outwit another by the mere application of wits. We admire a man who is light-fingered rather than heavy-handed. Such a man is, of course, Bradley Layton. Name's familiar? It ought to be. There isn't a police force anywhere in the world which hasn't his name on their most wanted list.
Inspector Conway, let me report I've met up with Bradley Layton, a master thief. We're going dancing tonight.
Splendid idea.
Well, I thought it might be useful to get him out of the way.
All I shall need is 2 hours to search his stateroom for the necklace. Congratulations, Miss Lake. You're doing a fine job.
Inspector, this is the most pleasurable assignment I've ever had in the cause of law and order.
Our mystery drama, The Masterminds, based on a story by Jacques Futrell, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Russell Horton. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Thursday, Thanksgiving evening on CBS television. It's Alice as you've never seen her.
Goodbye for my number.
Linda Lavin, star of Alice, electrifies the holiday night with her own variety special, Linda in Wonderland.
I'm gonna live till I die.
Linda and her guests, Lynn Redgrave, Anthony Newley, and Ron Liebman, for an hour of dazzling music and comedy. Linda in Wonderland, Thursday at 10, 9 Central and Mountain, on CBS television.
Denture wearers agree.
Snug cushions hold loose dentures so comfortably tight, I feel confident again.
Soft adhesive Snug brand denture cushions ease sore gums from loose-fitting plates. No messy fixing like powders or pastes. Snug is easy to shape and fit. Won't wash off. Get temporary relief from loose-fitting dentures until you see a dentist with Snug. Now in the new 4-cushion economy package. Snug, another fine product from Mentholatum.
My city tracks are fading fast. I'm out here on my own. Headed for a silver river that I call my home.
No plans, no nothing, just me and the river. The river's gonna go for it, and I'm gonna hang on for the ride.
Guess the river runs wild, and so do I. Would never change, and I don't ask why. And I don't expect sunshine not to turn to shower. And when I've got to trust somebody, I make it Eddie Bauer.
For 60 years, people who are serious about the outdoors have been putting their trust in Eddie Bauer. We think it's because we still make our own outdoor gear, still expedition test that gear on the toughest, coldest terrain in the world, still unconditionally guarantee everything we sell.
When you've got to trust somebody, make it Eddie Bauer.
At 123 North Wabash in downtown Chicago and the Old Orchard Center in Skokie.
At the top of your profession, the word master is added to your trade, such as master builder, master carpenter, master mariner. It's a long list. So it is even in that dubious profession of thievery. The title Master Thief was bestowed on Bradley Layton by newspapers, Scotland Yard, the Sûreté, and the police departments of Chicago, New York, and Boston. Somewhat in anger, but mostly in admiration.
Inspector, I know you in Scotland Yard have a 24-hour day, so I appreciate you seeing me so late in the evening. At least I can begin to learn here.
Well, you'll forgive me for saying so, Miss Lake.
Oh, but... please, call me Diana.
Diana, but why your Boston police should send a female operative across the Atlantic To study our methods is beyond me.
But you have no female operatives here at the yard?
Well, not in any position of authority. Well, there are some highly trained women chemists in our laboratory, but in the field, no.
But Inspector Conway, we in America have found very often a female detective can succeed where a male would be stymied.
Stymied?
Well, at any rate, I'm here to observe and to learn and not to get in your way. You still haven't caught up with Bradley Layton, hmm?
It's a very sore point with us.
We'd like to see him caught, too. That's quite a record of hauls he's had. The Hemingway jewels, the Cheltenham bracelet.
Mm.
How did he manage to get away with that, by the way? The word we got back at home in Boston was the London police knew about it in advance. Miss Cheltenham had invited him to her coming-out party.
Well, first of all, she shouldn't have been wearing anything so valuable. All we know is that Layton strolled out on the lawn with Miss Cheltenham sometime that evening during the party. She dropped the bracelet, and that was it. It was never found. Well, there's no question he lifted it.
And then broke it up, sold it diamond by diamond.
Don't forget the very large emerald.
Layton may have even found a buyer in America. And then what?
Then he disappeared. Who knows when he'll show up next? He's a rascal. We seek him here, we seek him there.
We seek him nearly everywhere. Is he in heaven or is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
excuse me. Hello? 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 Miss Lake, I don't know if you have the same trouble with these contraptions. Mm. They've just installed these American inventions of yours all over London and the yard. Hello? Ah, yes, Hartley. Yes, I hear you. Yes, I hear you. Oh, he is? You sure? Well, do about it. What can I do? All right. I shall be in my office the rest of the evening if anything breaks. Well, if you want to be on hand when Layton's in action, young lady, you just may be.
He's here? In London?
Lady Stanley is giving a fancy ball for the ambassador. Small affair, 300 guests. And have a guest, Diana, who is also invited.
Bradley Layton?
Himself.
Isn't it possible to have the place guarded?
I'm afraid our police are as recognizable as yours. Over here, nobody likes to give a party and see plainclothesmen standing about.
But how did Layton get invited?
Oh, he always is. If you didn't know how he made his living, you'd believe him the most charming of eligible men.
I'd like to meet him.
Well, I'd like to catch him.
You know, it seems crazy. There he is at that ball, putting a finger on someone's jewels, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, it's probably too late right this minute. The affair started about an hour ago, and Bradley Layton doesn't wait long before he strikes.
Lady Stanley, I always enjoy dancing with you.
Oh, where have you been keeping yourself, Bradley, dear? It seems the only way to find you is to invite you to a party.
Actually, I can't even remember where I've been. I know I spent a couple of weeks this summer at Sétreux. I did a bit of skiing at some Maurice.
Oh, you bachelors really have the best of all possible lives. You're better off, I suppose, without a wife to take care of. At least you don't have to be constantly giving out pretty gifts.
I do, sometimes.
And receive them, too, I notice. I do believe that's an emerald stickpin you're wearing. Oh, from an admirer?
For my part, Lady Stanley, let me be the admirer of your necklace. But then, you know, I have always admired it. Clusters of the blue, white, and the rubies. They aren't generally so well met.
Well, it's really all I have to remember, Lord Stanley. But Bradley, Bradley, catch me. I'm fully off.
Are you all right, Lady Stanley?
Oh, dear, you know, wasn't that a stupid thing to do? Oh, my. To fall on the dance floor at your feet, Bradley. It feels like somebody touched me.
Well, let me help you up, Lady Stanley. Hold on to me. There we are.
No, I'm not hurt. No, not in the slightest. Oh, my. Wasn't that stupid of me?
You're sure you're all right?
No, don't you dare treat me like an old lady. No. Well, what were we talking about? Oh, yes, my necklace.
Lady Stanley, I think you must have dropped it. It's not around your throat.
It's not. Oh, dear.
Shall we look back there where you fell?
Oh, yes, we must. I didn't even feel it come off.
Now, let me clear the space where we were.
Yes.
I'll have the orchestra start playing till we find it.
It must be here somewhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would be so good. Mr. Orchestra Leader, would you please stop playing? Ladies and gentlemen, Lady Stanley has dropped a necklace somewhere on the ballroom floor. Now, if everyone would please stand perfectly still where you are and look down at your feet, we ought to be able to find it.
Bradley, dear boy, I feel quite faint.
Well, that's why I led you to this sitting room, Lady Stanley. So that the ball could continue and you could get a chance to recover.
I cannot understand where the necklace disappeared to. I am distressed.
Do you think it's possible to have all of your guests searched?
Searched? At a ball in honor of the ambassador? But how could we? What would people say?
Then you don't think any of your guests here tonight might have made off with the necklace?
My guests? Well, of course we can't have anyone searched. I'd be the laughing stock of London.
I was only trying to help.
Well, I know you were, dear boy. Oh, I feel better now.
Perhaps we should inform the police.
The police? And insult 300 of my dearest friends? Well, there's time enough for that tomorrow. Now, take my hand, and you and I shall return to the ballroom.
You really feel up to dancing, Lady Stanley?
I have to make an appearance. It's expected of me.
What? Yes, Hartley. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what did I tell you, Miss Lake? Diana, I knew it would happen. Lady Stanley's necklace was stolen last night at her ball. Ah, serves her right. Wouldn't inform anyone or ask the Yard for protection. £500,000 gone. Vanished.
Bradley Lake.
Well, who else? Exactly like the Cheltenham case. The only difference, instead of strolling in the dark with one victim, he's dancing with another. Presto, the valuables are gone.
What we in Boston call his M.O., modus operandi, method of operation.
Oh, yes.
Does he always work alone?
Well, generally, sometimes with a male accomplice, sometimes a female. But not often. And never the same confederate twice.
Well, of course, we haven't actual proof. Did anyone see him remove the necklace from Lady Stanley's neck?
It could only have been Bradley Layton. My assistant just told me that the servants have all been questioned, the butlers, the caterers, musicians, every flunky in the place.
But you haven't questioned Layton himself.
The demmed, elusive Pimpernel is not in London. But we'll do the next best thing. Search his apartment here. Yes? What? Well, say that again, Hartley. Hold on. Diana, Bradley Layton is booked to sail for America on the HMS Romantic. Hartley, when? Day after tomorrow. Ah, yes, good news. Now I think we've got him. Well, I'll talk to you later. Diana, I have always said that sooner or later a criminal overplays his hand. Bradley Layton, the day after tomorrow, is sailing for Boston. Your hometown, no less.
That's good news.
Rack your brains, dear girl. Why should a man be sailing to America in midwinter?
He's got the necklace, and he's taking it to America to get rid of it.
Yes,
good thinking. And once our masterminded jewel thief is on that boat, we've got him. There's nowhere he can hide the necklace. Diana, how would you like to be in on the kill? Come with me aboard. We'll have 10 days to stalk our prey.
I'd be thrilled, Inspector.
I don't think Leighton knows me by sight, and he certainly doesn't know you.
Oh, I'll be glad to introduce myself to him.
He'd never get away with this one, even if we do happen to fail, and I doubt that. In Boston, the American customs officials will find the jewels.
Sounds like foggy weather. And you know what happened to the Titanic.
The Titanic was 10 years ago in 1912. And it wasn't fog they ran into. It was an iceberg.
And there are no icebergs on this route?
Not a one. Didn't that chap from Scotland Yard I've seen you talking to tell you about ocean voyages by steamship?
Mr. Culpepper is from Scotland Yard? Are you sure?
Am I sure? He thinks he's traveling incognito. That gentleman's name is not Culpepper. It's Conway. Herbert Conway, chief inspector of the yard.
You know him?
I'd say over the years I've made a practice of trying to avoid him. Now, if you'll excuse me, Miss...
Diana Lake.
Miss Lake, I must be off for my morning walk round the deck. I shall look for you after dinner. Perhaps you'll join me in a dance this evening at the lounge.
I love to dance.
So do I.
And the funny part of our conversation, did you happen to overhear Inspector Conway? He never told me what his name was.
He will.
You were right, though.
You mean about the necklace? Did he let on?
No. About how handsome and charming he is. We're going dancing tonight.
You are? Well, fantastic progress. Boston certainly has a very smooth operative in you, Diana.
I thought it might be useful.
While you're keeping him on the dance floor, I shall have myself a good old examination of his cabin.
Well, how much time do you need?
Oh, 2 hours should do it easily. I'm an old hand at this, and in that time I'd be very surprised if I can't come up with Lady Stanley's necklace.
Inspector Conway, I would say this is going to be the most pleasurable assignment I've ever had in the cause of law and order.
The date of our tale is obviously 1922, when travelers crossed the Atlantic aboard a great ocean liner in an unhurried, leisurely fashion. Today, that has changed. I'm not sure for the better. What has not changed is that perpetual chase after the wrongdoers by the rightdoers. I shall be back shortly with Act Two of The Masterminds.
Here's another first from Amana, the biggest breakthrough in microwave cooking since microwaves, the exclusive RotoWave cooking system. Ordinary microwave ovens scatter the microwaves every which way, but RotoWave works like a rotating shower of power. It rotates the microwave straight down into the food. So Amana radar range microwave ovens with RotoWave cook all sorts of foods faster and more evenly than ever before. Remember, if it doesn't say Amana, it's not a radar range.
Like Minute Maid orange juice, some things never change. Teenagers.
I need privacy, Mom. Why can't I have my own phone?
And mothers.
Next, you'll want your own car.
Only if it has a phone.
The great taste of Minute Maid orange juice is never going to change. It's always 100% pure. And we'll be making that same delicious taste when your kids have kids.
Make sure of the taste. Make it Minute Maid.
Rodney Dangerfield for Mailgram.
I tell you, with my car, I got nothing but trouble. Well, every Sunday, I take my family out for a push. Well, I tell you, with my car, when I'm on the road, just once, I like to see someone pass me without pointing to one of my tires. And when I call the dealer who sold me the car, he's always out of the office. Finally, I got satisfaction. I called Western Union and sent the dealer a mailgram message. This car is a lemon. I tell you, the old impact of a telegram. At a fraction of the cost, finally got results. The dealer sold me the perfect second car, a tow truck.
If you want to get action, call Western Union and send a mailgram message. Its distinctive blue and white envelope commands immediate attention. And it's easy to send a mailgram message. Western Union's number is listed in your telephone directory. Operators are standing by 24 hours a day to take your message and send it on its way for delivery with the next business day's mail.
Try a mailgram message. You'll get respect.
Of me, I have never been able to understand why people make heroes out of master criminals. Is it because they're doing what we don't dare do? Is it because all of us are basically perverse? Or is it because anyone who tries single-handedly to beat the system has our secret admiration? Perhaps before the final curtain rings down, we shall find out.
Beautiful out here on deck, isn't it? I say, aren't you Layton, Bradley Layton?
Inspector Conway. I wondered when you'd be around to introduce yourself.
I don't mind having to travel on the same boat as you, but why are you upsetting my approach to this lovely American girl? If I wish to tell her my name's Culpepper, why do you have to stick your nose in?
When you Scotland Yard boys get on an ocean liner, you behave like the rest of us. You on the HMS Romantic?
Well, I've been working pretty hard on the Stanley affair. The old man thought I was due for a vacation. See America, you know?
Yeah, that thing at Lady Stanley. I was there, you know. I happened to be the one who noticed her necklace was gone.
Who were you? Oh, yes, 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 so you were. Anyway, I just thought I'd let you know I've staked a small claim on Miss Diana. So ease off, Layton, would you please?
Mr. Culpepper, after tonight I'll do that. Besides, I understand there are a few bridge players on board, so starting tomorrow night I plan to join them in the smoking room. So, you can have the little American lady all to yourself.
Conway here.
Oh, Inspector, come in. Well, success?
You were going to give me 2 hours. I heard the two of you singing at the top of your voices coming down the companionway after only 1 hour.
Well, it was the only way I had to put you wise.
Then I just managed to unlock the adjoining cabin door and hide there till the coast was clear.
Oh, I was just as upset as you were. The orchestra suddenly got a little under the weather and stopped playing. So, you didn't find Lady Stanley's necklace,
No. Now we'll have another try tomorrow night.
Bradley didn't ask me to dance with him tomorrow night.
He told me he was joining some men playing bridge in the smoking room. Those games go on until 2 a.m, at least. Now, that'll be our chance.
You want me there?
You came to learn the Yard's techniques. What better way?
If he's got Lady Stanley's necklace with him, I'll certainly help you all I can to get them back. So this is what his cabin looks like. It's a lot grander than mine.
He spends other people's money in great style.
Well, where do we begin, Inspector? I'll admit I'm a bit nervous.
First of all, Diana, should something go wrong and Layton happens to return unexpectedly from his bridge game, before we're through, I'll let you into the cabin next door.
Well, supposing someone's there?
Well, just apologize, say you must have gotten into the wrong cabin by mistake, and buzz off out through the front door. Don't give them time to think.
What about you?
Layton knows who I am. He won't be the slightest surprise to find me here searching his cabin. But I want to keep you out of this. Let him go on believing you're just another American girl on a transatlantic voyage. Understand?
Right you are.
Now, first thing now, let's take the bed apart. Get the blankets and sheets off.
I've got them. Now, let's see. I'll go over the mattress carefully and see if he's cut apart any of the stitching. Just enough to hide the necklace.
Fine. I'll check the pillows, blankets, and so on.
Oh, no luck there.
Hmm.
Huh. I sure could learn how to make hospital bed corners from you, Inspector. What next?
Well, pull out those three dresser drawers and check the contents. Unroll the socks, unfold each handkerchief, and don't forget to look between the back of each drawer and the cabinet.
No sooner said than done.
While you're doing that, I'll untie the bundle of English newspapers. Open each one and shake out each page.
Someone smarter than we are.
Maybe, maybe not. Persistence is what pays.
Haven't we searched everywhere?
Not quite. I want you to go right around this carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Along the door, on the walls, under the bed, wherever. Pull it up wherever it's not nailed down. I'm going around the room, standing on a chair. Look for any cracks or spaces near the ceiling where the necklace could have been hidden.
And if that turns up nothing?
We'll return to my cabin and plan further.
Your cabin has a porthole, Inspector Conway. Mine hasn't.
Seniority. All right. So we haven't found anything yet. I say yet, and yet is what I mean. In my opinion, there are three further possibilities. One, Leighton could have left the necklace in the ship's safe to retrieve when we land.
Oh, I doubt that. Especially now, knowing you're on board and knowing that when we land, you'd be watching him like a hawk.
Check. Well, possibility number two. The necklace is in one of his trunks, which are right now somewhere in the hold. And we would never get to them until the ship docks.
Oh, it doesn't sound like the kind of hiding place he'd use. He'd know you'd alert the U.S. Customs.
Well, what does that leave us? Possibility three. The necklace has got to be on his person.
Oh, pretty nervy.
That's what he is. I think I should take me a stroll into the smoking room and examine Bradley Leighton myself from toe to head.
What are you going to do? Undress him?
My approach will be that of a vacationing member of Scotland Yard who is unsuccessful in containing his liquor.
Hello, Inspector.
Oh, hello, Leighton. The seas are awfully rough today.
How is the gentleman from Scotland Yard this morning, still feeling no pain after last night?
I'm afraid I shouldn't have mixed the grape and the grain. How did you know?
Don't you remember?
You helped me to my cabin. I seem to remember that.
That's all you remember?
Is there more?
Well, about midnight, Conway, you appeared in the smoking room, a little, shall we say, unsteady on the pin.
Plastered?
To the walls. You came up to where I was playing a hand and put your arms around me. You don't remember any of that? I stood up, excused myself to my bridge partner, but you wouldn't let go of me. So I half-carried you to your cabin, old boy.
Oh, dear. What can I say?
We had the devil's time with you, Conway. You kept hugging me in a most embarrassing fashion.
Oh, I am ashamed. What can you think of me?
Shall I tell you? If you were pretending in order to frisk me, you're wasting your time. I know nothing about Lady Stanley's stolen necklace other than I happened to be dancing with her the evening it disappeared. Good day, Inspector Conway. Or should I call you Culpepper, for I see that young American lady heading this way. I'd walk that walk with exercise, Inspector. It will help.
Good morning, Mr. Culpepper.
Good morning, Miss Legg.
No luck, I gather.
How did you know?
No knock on my cabin door last night.
He's as smart as they come. I went through my entire tipsy repertoire to no avail.
He didn't have the necklace on him.
No, he didn't. There's one more place in his cabin I haven't searched. I'm going back there tonight.
Inspector Conway, isn't it getting a little dangerous?
In what way?
Oh, supposing he's armed, a gun.
Oh, he carries a pistol, I know that. But Leighton never uses a gun when he has the upper hand, only to defend himself.
But if he found you in his cabin?
You don't know the man, Diana. Force offends him. He wouldn't stoop to it. I'll be in his cabin at 9 tonight. Would you care to join me?
I wouldn't miss it.
I look up there.
Mm-hmm.
See those ventilation ducts overhead?
Mm.
Now, I'll stand on the bed and pry loose the front part. It's just the kind of hiding place no one would notice.
True. I never think to look there.
Now, remember what I said. If Leighton suddenly comes back... Oh, someone is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Better put this chair back. I haven't even begun, so we'll both duck into the cabin next door. Good. Cabin's dark. It's empty. Now, let's wait and see if he goes away.
Inspector Conway, is that you in the cabin next door?
Diana, he's playing games. You better get yourself out the front door of this cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry.
I'll tell you what, Inspector. Come join me for a nightcap. I'll ring for a bottle of brandy and we can sit here and talk. Maybe I can help you find what you're looking for.
Hold on, Diana. I'll unlock the front door for you.
But what about you?
Bradley Leighton always serves extremely rare brandy. It makes our relationship a pleasure.
You look depressed this morning, Inspector.
Why shouldn't I be? We're nearing land. I'm annoyed and angry, but not defeated.
Maybe his sailing to America had nothing to do with the necklace. Isn't that possible?
My instinct tells me Lady Stanley's jewels were on this ship. No, he's probably got them in his trunk, or in one of them.
Well, then there's no problem. We'll be in Boston Harbor in 2 hours or so, and I'll go send a radio message to the head of the customs service. My boss, Chief O'Rourke, knows him personally. I'll tell him to go through every piece of luggage Leighton's got until he comes up with a necklace. Oh, sorry I was so long, but I waited for an answer. The chief said they'd take care of the luggage and Leighton as soon as he gets off the ship.
Good.
But he won't get away with anything.
That's him, forward, on the deck below us.
Oh.
Do you see that?
Oh, he's certainly handsome. He's been avoiding me. Don't ask me why. I know I wasn't that bad a dancer, but he never asked me a second time.
Diana, look out ahead. There's a motorboat headed this way.
Is that the pilot?
No, not in that thing. That boat's built for speed. The man at the wheel is waving at us.
No, he isn't. He's waving at Leighton. See? Look down there, forward. Leighton's waving back.
Ahoy there! Brandy! Hello, Harry! What brings you here?
I heard you were aboard. Came back to beach it. How is the trip?
Boring, I'm afraid.
Look, I got a package of American newspapers here. I'll throw them up to you. Come on, enjoy them.
Inspector Conway, something's going on down there. I think we ought to see what it is.
Thanks. I've got them. Now, I've got a bundle here of some English papers for you. Catch! There's something in them that will interest you. Bernie out! I'll be in back for sure. See you on the dock, lady.
The necklace. Diana, tell the wireless operator to get you the Coast Guard. Explain the whole thing. That motor boat's got to be intercepted and searched. And to think I'm standing 25 feet from the whole transaction, doing nothing. If I were my chief, I'd fire myself.
It appears that the master criminal mind has outwitted pursuit. As always, I ask myself, what will happen when two antagonists on opposite sides of the law are pitted against one another? And then I realize that is precisely what the third act of Mystery Theater is for. In short order, I shall be bringing that act to you.
If you've never baked anything at all, and you feel kind of jealous of your friends who bake pies all through the holidays, try this. Go to your grocer's freezer. Pick up some Pet Ritz pie shells. Take them home and fill a shell with fruit, slip it in the oven, and you've got yourself a delicious homemade pie. You'll surprise your friends, your family, and probably yourself. Make a pie soon with Pet Ritz pie shells.
All you do is fill and bake with Pet Ritz frozen pie shells.
Wherever the big news is made this fall, Sports Illustrated will be there to capture it. We've been there for baseball surprises from Kansas City to Philadelphia. We'll be there for the college and pro football battles from Pasadena to Pittsburgh. We'll be there as the Islanders and the Lakers defend their crowns. And as Duran and Leonard square off in a super middleweight rematch, there'll be big news this fall. Sports Illustrated will be there each week to capture it for 16 million readers. That's what makes it a great place to advertise. Sports Illustrated, America's sports news weekly.
This is WBBM Chicago.
You've waited all year and now it's clear. The pre-Christmas sale at last is here. That special event where savings abound, where furs of incredible beauty are found. So whether for him or favorite her, the label will whisper, "Merry Christmas. I cared enough to give you a York fur." During York Furrier's wonderful pre-Christmas fur sale, you'll find outstanding savings on York's entire collection of thousands of furs. Every fur is a tribute to York's master craftsman. Every fur has the signature of quality York is known for. Whether you prefer lynx, fox, raccoon, sable, York's famous natural mink, or any other fur, you'll find tremendous values to choose from. So come to this very special pre-Christmas sale at York Furrier, the finest furrier in the world. 107 North York Road, Elmhurst. Master craftsmen doing what they do best.
As author Jacques Poutrel describes the scene, Inspector Conway watched the motorboat speeding towards Boston. It spoke to no other craft, passed near none, until it disappeared into Boston Harbor. Shortly thereafter, the HMS Romantic tied up at the dock. Bradley Layton was taken to a special room and searched, as was his baggage.
There's my chief. Inspector Conway, come with me. Patrick!
Diana, got your messages.
Inspector Conway, I'd like you to meet my chief, Patrick O'Rourke, Boston Police.
Scotland Yard, eh?
I'm very pleased to know you, Chief O'Rourke.
I don't often get away from my desk, but Diana's been sending wires from the boat about this Layton character. We've heard of him, so I thought I'd give the customs people a hand. Have they examined his luggage?
Right down to the toothbrush.
Well, we've had the man stripped, nothing on him. Had to let him go.
The motorboat?
The Coast Guard brought her in, hailed the pilot. A man called Harry Cheshire examined him. We took that little craft apart piece by piece, even raised it out of the water. Nothing.
Those newspapers?
Just English newspapers.
Oh, it can't be.
It was.
I could have sworn.
Wait a minute. Patrick, isn't there a few minutes when she's rounding the breakwaters to get into the harbor that she was out of sight? Maybe that's when they transferred the stuff to another boat.
Right, true. They're about 3 minutes when the motorboat was out of sight. But nothing that floats or swims came nearer. I'll tell you what. Let's get your bags together. Yours, Inspector, and Diana, yours. And then both of you come back with me to headquarters. We'll sit down. You give me all the background on this jewel thief. And if I can help, I'll be glad to.
So he's here in America in the clear. And we are, as you say, stymied.
Inspector, how many stones in that necklace?
77 diamonds and 50 rubies. 127. Very good haul.
Tell me now, that man in the motorboat, was he really English or was he acting?
No, there's no question. Actually, he was a Cockney. That's an accent very hard for anyone to imitate.
English? Cockney.
But does it make a difference?
Well, only that Layton might be more likely to have an English accomplice. We'll check into this Harry Cheshire. My feeling, Inspector, is this Layton never had the jewels with him and he's making a fool of you. If it weren't for that bundle of newspapers Layton threw into that motorboat, I'd say forget it. He didn't bring the stuff with him. So,
Well, you must assume he did hide the jewels in his stateroom, and that Harry Cheshire is a Confederate and received the stolen goods in the motorboat and made off with them.
Well, if so, how were they brought ashore?
Harry Cheshire couldn't have swallowed 127 gems. So, I ask you, what have we?
Nothing.
I don't agree with you, Inspector. Instead of nothing, we have the answer. I just may be able to give you the name and address of the man who has the jewels at this moment. Assuming, of course, that Leighton brought them with him. If you'll excuse me, Diana, take care of the inspector. I'm going to the next office and place a call or two. Be right back.
Miss Lake, Diana, is your chief joking?
No, Inspector. But he's quite a wonder.
Do you mean to say that I've been working to get hard evidence against Bradley Leighton for months in three cases? And all O'Rourke has to do is make a phone call for the name and address of the man who's got the swag?
If Patrick O'Rourke told me he was going into the next room to bring back the Pacific Ocean in a teacup, I believe him.
I think I got it for you. I wrote down the name, Inspector. Here, see if you can read my writing.
Henry C.H. Mandeling. Skituate. What's a Skituate?
It's a town in Massachusetts. Here, I'll show you on the map.
Henry Mandeling has probably got the necklace right now, in whole or in part. Diana, it's your assignment. Go on insisting the inspector and find him somewhere to stay, somewhere near Skituate.
Is that all you're going to tell us, Patrick?
It's the inspector's case.
Well, let's go then.
All the stones will be unset, and you'll probably find them in miniature oilskin bags, about as small as your little finger.
We'll follow it up, Chief. And when we apprehend Leighton and Cheshire and Mandeling, we'll call you.
No, don't thank me, Inspector Conway. Hands across the sea. I'm sure the Yard will do the same for us.
Are we much further to walk, Diana? It's getting quite dark.
I'm not really sure, Inspector. I've never been to Skituate before. But when I asked in that store in the village, they said that Henry Mandeling's was the last house along the cliffside. Oh, that's the house. I'm sure of it. See, it's smaller than all the other mansions that face the ocean, but it's made of stone, and that's what they told me.
There's a lot of birds about.
Now, let's follow this gravel path around the back door. There's no sign of anyone inside. No lamps are lit. Probably no one home. So, let's get in and do the job real fast.
Diana, come here. I'm in the kitchen.
Are you all right? Have you found something?
Shine your torch onto the table where I have mine.
My torch? Oh, yes, my flashlight. No, wait a second. I'll put my gun in my other hand.
Well, how do you like that?
Where did you find them?
Hidden inside the sugar bowl.
Little tiny oilskin bags. Just like the chief said. Oh, open one of them, Conway. Let's make certain. Here, right on the table.
Beautiful, aren't they?
Oh.
There's no question. Those are the stones from the Stanley necklace.
Oh, it didn't take you long to find them, Inspector.
Well, I felt so awkward in front of your Chief O'Rourke to have come 3,000 miles empty-handed that when he told me where to look, I would have felt the greatest fool in the world if I hadn't found them.
Shh! Someone's coming. Douse your light.
Yeah. After that little walk along the cliffs, Harry, I think a drink is in order. Now, where do you keep it?
Here, in the kitchen. We don't light the oil lamp. Gentlemen, put your hands up. Leighton, I want you.
Leighton's got a gun. Come on.
He's running out the door. I'll get him. You take care of Harry.
I don't know nothing.
Harry? Why don't
you run out the door like your friend, Layton?
With a bullet in my back? I'm not going nowhere.
So you're going to let him get away, and you'll be hit with the whole rap.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll see. Okay. Now move. You heard me. Move. Out the front door.
Wait a minute. Where do you want me to go?
I want you to take me outside and show me that little house you have next to this one.
What little house?
Where you keep your pigeons, Harry. Come on now. Move.
Harming pigeons, Diana. You hit the nail on the head.
Patrick, you knew that all along.
Conway, don't you think Scotland Yard ought to make our Diana an honorary member?
I saw those pigeons roosting when Inspector Conway and I went up to search the house.
Well, I seem to be the only one who didn't notice the difference between pigeons and seagulls.
Inspector Conway, you found the jewels. And that's, after all, what you came to America for.
Yes, but I lost Bradley Layton. He disappeared over those cliffs like a ghost.
We phoned the Scituate police. Asked them to put up a roadblock, but no luck.
We're too late.
Don't feel too badly, Conway. Now, we got Harry Cheshire, so even if Layton is loose, he'll never have his accomplice.
Who was Henry C. Manderling?
Henry C. H. Manderling. Henry C. H. Is he Harry Cheshire? My long shot. You see, it had to be homing pigeons. What else could have scammed out of that boat without being noticed? You know, birds in the water. People would think seagulls like you did. Easy enough to tie the bags of stones to their feet. Up they went, homeward bound.
That wasn't a long shot.
No. I called the Homing Pigeon Association. What Englishman living around here kept a couple of dozen homing pigeons? And they gave me the name.
How can I thank you, Chief?
Are you comfortable, Diana?
Very. Are you, Bradley?
Very.
I like being wrapped up in a blanket lying on a steamer chair. Oh, but I don't like the sound of that, though.
Oh, that's all gone?
I want to get to wherever we're going, safely. You know what happened to the Titanic.
My darling girl, don't you remember my telling you that the Titanic ran into an iceberg, not fall? I've been thinking about Inspector Conway, Diana.
Inspector Conway? I thought he was real sweet.
I've been thinking, what are they going to do to him in London when he gets back to Scotland Yard and plunks down what he thinks are Lady Stanley's rubies and diamonds, and they all turn out to be imitation?
And I've been thinking, what is Chief Patrick O'Rourke going to say when Detective Diana Lake never returns from her vacation?
Fortunately for law-abiding citizens, a Bradley Layton, a mastermind who can conceive and execute a robbery of such magnitude, doesn't appear on the police blotters every day of the week. However, unfortunately, all the cunning ones have not been caught. But at least we know who they are. I'll be back shortly.
A message from CBS Television.
Hello, I'm Charles Turalt. For years, the American countryside has been my home. While traveling all those miles on the back roads, I've shared in the folklore of a rich nation. Now, every weekday, I'll bring you the first news of the day from our nation and the world with special reports from our correspondents in the field. So join me for Morning from CBS News.
Charles Turalt in the Morning, only on the CBS Television Network.
Hearty homemade soup for dinner. Just add meat and let it simmer. Serve it tonight.
When the weather outside is chilly and freezing, that's when Soup Starter Soup is really pleasing.
speaking of cunning, but we can comfort ourselves that eventually a cunning person overreaches no one but himself. As Ben Jonson put it, cunning derives its effectiveness from the credulity of others. It really requires no extraordinary talents to lie and deceive. Our cast included Russell Horton, Carol Tytel, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Someone will have heard the shots, and they'll be here soon.
You killed them to save Hans?
Renan, we must leave now. Immediately.
But we can't go without hiding the bodies. If someone comes and finds the dead soldiers, they will accuse Renata.
I'm carrying this one. You get that one.
Madame,
wash this floor carefully. Clean off any blood.
You heard nothing.
You know nothing. Ready, Marshal?
Ready. I've got this one.
Now, if you walk in a straight line past the two oak trees, you'll come to an old stone quarry. No one will look there.
Thank you. Take care of Hans. Perhaps we shall meet again. Mm-hmm. Renata, au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen. I pray for you both that the war is short.
Mrs. E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Zapraszam Państwa do Old Warsaw Restauracji i życzę Państwu smacznego.
In case you don't speak Polish, that was our friend Chester Markowitz inviting you to the Old Warsaw Restaurant for delicious Polish food.
You'll never go hungry. The Old Warsaw, 4750 North Harlem in Chicago's Harwood Heights neighborhood, features a tremendous Polish smorgasbord with roast beef, ham, Polish sausage, sauerkraut, stuffed cabbage, fried chicken, and daily specials like chopped steak, roast pork, and ribs.
Enjoy potato pancakes, dumplings, pierogies, blintzes, and their extensive salad bar.
Polish smorgasbord, all you can eat, is just $3.95 at lunch weekdays, slightly higher at dinner. Ask about children's prices and senior citizens discounts. Coffee and cocktails available at small additional charge.
Visit the Old Warsaw, 4750 North Harlem, Harwood Heights. Phone 867-4500. Open daily except Monday, and don't miss their attractive gift items.
CBS News, three Algerian diplomats will be at the State Department Wednesday to give American officials Iran's reply to the U.S. proposals on conditions for release of the hostages. I'm Paul Lockwood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Algerians, who are serving as intermediaries, arrived in Washington late Tuesday and were whisked through Dulles International Airport under tight security to waiting limousines. They made no comments to awaiting reporters. In New York City Tuesday evening, Special Envoy Olaf Palme met with United Nations Secretary General Waldheim to brief Waldheim on Palme's just-completed peace mission to Tehran and Baghdad. There will be more discussions on Wednesday about Palme's efforts to try to stop the fighting between Iran and Iraq. In the war, both sides reported increased fighting for the Iranian oil complex at Abadan. In boxing Tuesday night, Sugar Ray Leonard has regained his World Boxing Council welterweight championship by scoring a technical knockout over defending champ Roberto Duran of Panama. The fight in the Superdome at New Orleans ended in the eighth round when Duran threw his gloves down at his side, said something to the referee, and then walked to his corner. More CBS News after this.
Reach out and touch someone.
Case?
Yeah?
Boy, am I glad you're home.
Suzanne, where are you?
I'm at home.
You're at home?
Yeah, I
I'm calling you to get cheered up.
Oh, you're calling long distance to be cheered up, huh?
Well, I'm doing that thing, you know, where you call before 8 in the morning and you save 60%.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
So tell me what happened.
Well, first thing, no hot water in the building.
Well, you should have just heated some up and thrown it in the air and run under it.
You can save 60% by dialing direct without operator assistance, state to state except Alaska and Hawaii, from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. 60%.
You know what happened to me this morning? I get up, go outside, and the car doesn't start.
Whatever you do, don't throw it up in the air and run under.
The Bell System.
In Kenner, Louisiana, near New Orleans, a train smashed into a gasoline truck Tuesday at a busy crossing. The collision set off a series of explosions, one of which leveled a nearby tavern. Louisiana State Police spokesman Wallace Geddes.
From witnesses' statements, the tractor trailer driver attempted to cross the crossing from the train, tried to, as he stated, tried to beat the train. The rear portion of the tractor trailer was struck. The product escaped from the tank. And went up in flames. The driver was able to exit the tractor prior to the time that it was engulfed in flames, and additionally, he was able to pull one female driver from her car. However, her six-month-old child remained in the vehicle and became a victim. There was a ballroom located right at the crossing that was engulfed in flames, and I understand now the head count is six. So we bring it to a total of seven confirmed fatalities.
There's a powerless barge adrift in the Gulf of Mexico off the Texas coast with several dozen people on board. CBS News spoke Tuesday night with Coast Guard Lieutenant Robert Hurwit in Corpus Christi.
The tugboat that is towing it right now is towing it slowly to the south. We've got some strong northerly winds and some heavy seas out of the north. He can't turn into the seas to bring it back towards Corpus Christi without breaking his tow line. So all he can do is continue south and maintain a little way on. And he's going to have to wait until the bigger tugboat gets there. And he will probably try and ride out the storm and then turn it around after it eases off.
Chinese officials say the widow of Mao Zedong has appeared before a special court in Peking to answer charges that she slandered and discredited China's Communist Party vice chairman Deng Xiaoping. This is the court that is considering charges against 10 defendants, including Mao's widow and other members of the so-called Gang of Four. Now this message.
All that wheeling and a feeling and a squealing caused a spin-off. Venus Straight got a show of his own. He left the Dukes to Hazzard. It was straight to California on the CBS TV. You might have known. The long arm of the law is out on a limb. So be sure to catch Enos catching crooks in the city. You never seen a Hazzard like him. Look out for Enos Wednesday nights at 8, 7 Central and Mountain on your CBS TV.
If you're a veteran with less than a fully honorable discharge, you may now apply for a confidential review and possible upgrade. Veterans discharged before April 1, 1966 must apply before April 1, 1981. For details, send your name, service number, branch, and mailing address to Discharge Review, Post Office Box 21, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. That's Post Office Box 21, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. Paid for by the Department of Defense.
Ann Armstrong, who is believed to have been in line for a top job in the Reagan administration, has withdrawn her name from consideration. Armstrong, who was a cabinet-level advisor to Richard Nixon and who played a leading role in the Reagan campaign, said she wants to be able to spend more time with her family. Her husband and five children live in Texas. There will be no further consideration of administration appointments now until after Thanksgiving. The Reagans have gone to their ranch home outside Santa Barbara, California, for the holiday. Paul Lockwood, CBS News.
This is your Chicago Bears station, Sports Radio 78, WBBM Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. This is Alan Bickley on News Radio 78 in Chicago at 11:32.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now one of those perspectives.
I'm Roger Wilkins. In Washington, everybody was agog on a Twitter last week, even Democrats. Ronald Reagan had come to town to take what local newspapers called his victory laps. He did it to perfection and charmed everybody. One night, some students from George Washington University stood for more than an hour in the cold just to catch sight of him and to cheer for him. When is the last time you heard of American college students waiting around to cheer a president? It wasn't just kids who were pleased with the Reagan visit, though. Republicans were ecstatic, obviously. But Democrats were also impressed with the adroitness of Reagan's political moves. One Democrat, who was the staff director of a Senate committee, said, "People said that fellow was dumb, but he's certainly not a dumb politician." And, of course, there are the inevitable comparisons with Jimmy Carter. Reagan last week met with everybody from Howard Baker, the next Senate majority leader, to Marion Barry, the Democratic mayor of Washington who campaigned ardently for Carter. That led people to remember the advice Jimmy Carter got upon taking office about the presidential yacht, the Sequoia. "Don't sell the Sequoia," the new president was told, "because those dinner trips down the Potomac are some of the best tools you'll have in your efforts to woo congressmen and senators to your policies and programs." In a symbolic gesture about cutting down waste in the size of the presidency, Jimmy Carter sold the Sequoia. After watching Ronald Reagan sail from the Supreme Court to Tip O'Neill's office to the CIA to a columnist's house for dinner, leaving smiling people in his wake everywhere he went, one Democrat observed, "Ronald Reagan would never have sold the Sequoia." But I'm still worried because, style and class aside, there are still questions of substance. Reagan was clear in the campaign on what he was for: more defense, less government spending, less government involvement in the lives of the people. I have no doubts that he will move in those directions. I worry, though, about Reagan's expectation that he can make large defense increases while not scuttling the strategic arms limitation process. I hope he can. It'll be a neat trick. I worry that large tax cuts will fuel inflation. If it doesn't, it will be another neat trick. I worry that less government will mean more discrimination. I worry that more defense means less for the poor in the cities. Reagan says he can achieve all his goals without injuring any of the country's vital interests. I frankly doubt that he can. But if he can add successful substance to his beguiling style, he will surely be the most successful president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This is Roger Wilkins for Spectrum.
Monday through Saturday, Spectrum brings you differing informed viewpoints on various topics of public interest. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
Bill Schweitzer with Sports Time. People are going to be talking about the Duran-Leonard fight, number two, for a long time. Here they were fighting it out in the eighth round, and all of a sudden Roberto Duran throws up his hands and says, "That's it." Both the referee and Leonard didn't quite comprehend at first, but then it dawned on them. The WBA welterweight crown goes back to Sugar Ray. Did it take some of the sweetness out of it for Sugar?
"It doesn't take anything away from the victory. I'm the champion. It doesn't take anything. I won fair and square. That's it."
Now, you know, in the seventh round, it was Leonard pulling an Ali, dancing and shuffling and taunting, winding up with his right hand, hitting Duran with his left, and just plain leaving Duran bewildered.
"Seventh round, I felt myself in control, complete control, and I did what I felt."
Yeah, this time, though, Leonard fought his fight and not Duran's fight.
"The name of the game this time around was boxing. Just boxing, scientific techniques.
Not slugging it out toe-to-toe. Duran's locker room, they say he quit because he had cramps, and Duran says he will never fight again. We shall see. Fight's going to leave a lot of people very, very skeptical. One guy who's done a lot of fighting himself, mostly with his gloves off, Gary Howard of the New York Islanders.
"I've watched a lot of movies. You at least get hit and fall down. I guess they're just preparing for the third fight. Make more money."
And Duran will have to convince people otherwise. Then there's the Islanders' feisty goalie, Billy Smith, the way he looks at Duran's Brody in the eighth round.
"I'm just wondering if we're down by so many going in the third period, if I could skate off the ice."